Hey, y'all. You're listening to Winning at Life. Yeah, Life Financial News Talk Radio. So how's it going out there? You saving some money? Getting ahead? Well, we can help. It's what we do. We've been doing this for 11 years, every evening at 7, Saturdays from 10 to 1, Life Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, a financial advisor, money manager, founder, and CEO of Gregory Ricks and Associates, the Total Wealth Authority. So what we got going on, James?
Well, if you don't mind letting me start off the show by bringing in the topic from a segment that we had on Saturday's show. Is that all right? Because now you probably know what I'm going to do. Dwayne Stein, it was during his hour, and Chuck and Mandeville had called in. And, you know, the discussion on whether or not it's a buyer's market or a seller's market, it's a common discussion we have with Dwayne, common discussion we have on this show when Dwayne's not here. You know, that's the biggest financial decision a lot of people make. Is, you know, the transactions between buying and selling homes. You know, a lot of money hangs in the balance. A lot of your financial future hangs in the balance. But it's just interesting when we have both you and Dwayne here at the same time. And then Chuck and Mandeville's call is just a little bit different. Is it time to buy an investment property? So,
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, so we're going to go back in time here. You're still on your way home from work, but we're going to hit the time machine all the way back to Saturday's show. Chuck in Mandeville. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Chuck?
I'd like to ask a question of Mr. Gumbo. From what you're saying on the radio, this doesn't seem to be an opportune time to make an investment in real estate. I mean, I'm talking about like a single-family home or a condo or a garden home or something like that. Not to live in, but just as an investment to, you know, capital appreciation or whatever in 5 years, say, or something like that. Because rates are going up, so you're saying now's not the time, correct?
Well, let me ask you this, Chuck. It depends. If you're buying something to hold on to for down the road, I wouldn't say that would be a good investment, period, unless it's something that it's going to be your retirement home or something. Rates are still fantastic. If you're looking for something to make a little bit of money that you're looking to, hey, I'm going to now become the next mogul of Mandeville, right, Mr. Chuck? Then if that's the case, then the single family home, the condo, the garden home, unless you already have this in your portfolio, doubles, fourplexes are always going to be a better opportunity just simply because it gives you some headway. These TV shows make investing, Chuck, look like it's the easiest thing on earth. And as a guy who lost his shorts, which I'm proud to say I'm down 10 pounds, so I'm in a smaller size short. But with that being said, I lost my shorts because I thought, Chuck, I'll buy it. I'll build a house. I'll flip it. I'll do this and that. It doesn't always work. So it's still a fantastic time. And as I alluded to on my show earlier, they've lightened. In March, they tightened up the investment property rules. They've lightened those up now. They were only taking in 7%, which meant you had to put down more money. This week, they came out and said, hey, the Fed's going to continue buying those. So it kind of alleviates to what Gregory was saying earlier, you know, the tapering. Maybe that's a sign it's probably not going away either. But so, Chuck, I wouldn't say it's not a good time. Just, and you know your finances more than any. I know we've talked about it on the show with Gregory before with callers. You just got to be careful because chances are, my man, you're not going to, that one home isn't going to get you where you want to be, especially in just a five-year time.
Another question for you, Chuck. Go ahead.
Just real quick, please, is if one would have the cash to buy a reasonably priced home, whatever they go for, you know, not a mansion, just, so you wouldn't have to have a mortgage. Would it be better to wait till, like Gregory says, rates go up during next summer, maybe, and house prices fall? Would that be a better strategy?
Don't know if, and that's the question, right? I was going to ask you. Are you thinking about leveraging, which is another term for borrowing money to buy the property, or cash? If you're in a cash position, you're not going to have pressure on you. And you're in a much better position. And once again, like stock investing, you have to have a time horizon of a number of years. So you're probably, you know, what you're always looking for on real estate investing is looking for discounts or problem properties to buy at a lower price. Well, that's in short supply right now, and you're not the only one looking for those. So if you're probably paying more than you want to, if you have a time horizon out of 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, you know you're going to come out fine if you're buying this for the long term. Because look at what property values have done over the past 10. Yep. Don't think about the last year. Think about the past 10 years, the past 20 years. And this is an income machine. Now, the other part of what Dwayne was talking about for everybody listening, why was he talking about doubles and fourplexes? It's diversification. You have one rental property and somebody stops paying rent. You got to go through a legal process to get them out. That takes time. And now you're short money. So if you're dependent upon one, that's carrying a lot of risk. And real estate investing is risky. Ask Dwayne about that. He lost his shorts. And even if it's flipping properties or remodeling and selling, all that stuff, or rental, it's just, that's what I've always talked about for the 11 years I've done this show. You go into real estate, I'm going to give me one, two properties. Well, you don't have a business. If you're going into this, you should be thinking about getting multiple properties at a minimum. And then you have a safety net. And you have to get out this debt. You know, a lot of them talk about, hey, borrow money and then borrow from this one to buy the next. And at some point, you've got to get this debt out the way. And then you have a manageable business as well. Because then if tough times come around again, and they probably are, just like hurricanes, it'll be back around. And I wouldn't buy all my properties in a hurricane area either, by the way, or flood prone. But see, diversification gives you opportunity. Thanks for the call, Chuck.
All right. So we're back live now. That was Chuck from Saturday's show.
Well, what's interesting is real estate investors, that's what Chuck sounds like, a real estate investor, were involved in 17% of the home purchases. That means if there was six houses sold, one of them went to an investor during the second quarter of this year. Investors have taken advantage of the low interest rates to finance upgrades on their purchases and then realize the profit by reselling to a pandemic-weary buyer who's looking for specific features. So, interesting market connection.
Well, I was interested in Chuck's just assumption, like this is the way of the world, that when the rates start to go back up, it's going to have so much downward pressure on houses that the prices would go down. And I don't think he can count on that. Downward pressure is not the same as making the price go down.
Yeah, look, and all markets haven't had the rocket up there, you know. And we are going to see some pressures on that. When the Supreme Court ruled on August 26th of this year that the CDC had no legal authority to issue eviction moratorium. To issue an eviction moratorium, just 6% of the 43.6 million U.S. renters were behind on their rent. And as far as the housings, the foreclosure, that's going to pick up. But, you know, if we think we're going to have some cataclysmic event on that, like that caused the Great Recession, I don't think we're going to get there on that. So you could see the rise stop on inflation. You know, from an inflation standpoint or people bidding up houses, but, you know, getting discounts. And, you know, that's what everybody's on the hunt for. And that's typically what you're looking for is to kind of buy the worst house in a neighborhood and fix it up and try to get that price. I had a discussion recently with a lady that said, yeah, it's kind of a bummer in this, you know, since the storm, and they're having to hunt for a house because an investor bought the duplex that they were living in. And then she gets a notice that she's got to move out, got 30 days to move out. And she thought she was going to be there a couple more years. And it turns out, you know, that neighborhood's getting more prices. The investor bought the place not long ago, says, hey, we're going to remodel. And yeah, what they're wanting. I said, did you have a lease or month to month? She said, I'm month to month. And I said, well, see, that's one of the problems. Double-edged sword on lease. You probably say, well, you know, I'm not committed very long. Well, neither is the landlord either to you in that case. And I think maybe, you know, you should look at where you reside a year at a time. And what I shared with her, I said, I've experienced this in the past, but kind of my thing, I like being under a lease, and I want to have a continuation of that. If I'm coming up, I want to talk about an extension. And another thing I like in leases, if you sell that property, you cannot cancel my lease, or then I'm not doing a deal under those circumstances. So then you wouldn't have that problem. At least you would have a longer window if you were under a year, two or three, whatever the period of that lease is. And this goes where investors are looking for properties. Sometimes they're just buying good properties and improving upon it as well. And, you know, heck, New Orleans area is probably in this region is what I'll put it more as. It's kind of tough right now because of Hurricane Ida. Like, okay, I think a lot of people are looking for places. I know a dozen people right now that need a home. Why? Because theirs is messed up. Kind of too much water in it. I've been sharing these wine and wisdom pop-up events that I'm going to have going on for our clients. The purpose of that is to give them a chance to upgrade their portfolios. And we're in these pop-up events, which are supposed to be loose, informational, and the core things we're going to be discussing. So from a client's that's listening to the show, hey, we're going to be sending out an email beginning of the week. I have this Wine and Wisdom pop-up event at the event center next to our Metairie office. And we're going to be doing one at 1:30 and one at 5:30. And I'll just say the event we're expecting to be less than an hour. But the three things we're going to be talking about is the upgraded guided planning system portal that where you can access information about your accounts and performance strategies, metrics. There's some really cool upgrades coming to that from an information standpoint. Your planning information, I'm really excited about that. The second is the tax-free models on managed money, investment accounts. This is, you know, really more focused for after-tax assets, or what we refer to as non-qualified. So we're adding some tax-free income models to that as well. So I'm really excited about those upgrades and choices for our clients. And third is the fourth asset class that we've basically, it's part of the overall philosophy for the past decade, but we've actually now defined it in treating it as an asset class. And it's when, you know, money needs to move because momentum is changing, the money's going to move that's tied to the tactical asset class. But it also has a black swan event feature, which means, yeah, if the market's getting really ugly, that money that's in that asset class is going to shift and reduce exposure to downside. And, you know, overall, I think you should have tactical. I think you should have index linked. I do like bond ETFs and along with those in that arena is where that tax-free income is going to be generated too. And of course, I like stock ETFs, four asset classes there. And it's a matter of getting the right blend for you so you have have a chance to increase the consistency on growth, and you fare better on the distribution phase. You see, that's kind of why I mentioned to you, I'm Sherpa by night. I'm helping you up that mountain saving money, and I'm going to help you on the distribution phase. That's what we do in our day job. We also do that on the show, but I just wanted to share with you these events that we're doing for clients. If you want more information, we'll give you my office number, whether you're in Gulfport. I have an office over in Gulfport. I have one in Baton Rouge, one in Mandeville, Louisiana, and Metairie, Louisiana. But if you're living further out, somewhere else in the country, well, you can have a 15-minute phone call. We can do a video meeting, or you can come into one of the offices. One number to call, 504. We'll start again, give you a chance, 504-832-9200. And the website is Gregory RickRex.com. If you're not getting treatment like that and information and ongoing strategy sessions and strategy events to learn more, then yeah, you need to give my office a call. You can call now, 504-832-9200, or go to GregoryRex.com.
Well, you mentioned the fourth asset class. I think it might be good context to review. What are the original three asset classes in the Invest 50-50 strategy?
Well, we separated out the tactical part so we could allocate specific assets to that. It's been part of the philosophy, but we kind of had defined it as stock ETFs, bond ETFs, and index-linked investing. The index-linked investing, we're using fixed indexed annuities to get growth based on par rate without downside exposure. We like bonds. They've like rarely had a negative year, when you look at overall bonds. And then of stocks, yeah, they're volatile. That's why it's rare that a person should do 100% money in stocks. And look, if you're wanting to do 100, you say, look, I only want stock investment. I'm fine with the rest. Well, I'm fine with that too, but here's how I think you should do it. If you're kind of saying, yeah, I'm fine. I have a higher, risk tolerance. Okay. We can attach it all to stocks, but here's what we're going to do. Of your money, we'll put 50% to stock ETFs, so you get the upside of the market, but I'm going to put the other half in tactical growth, so you have some offset when some things get crazy and get some momentum. I tell you what, that's a really pretty cool strategy. I think that increases your upside potential overall. I think that, to me, I believe is a better route than going stocks only.
All right. So
that help you out?
Yeah. Well, do we have a date set for one of these yet?
Yes, Thursday.
Thursday. This coming Thursday.
Thursday. A
week from today.
Thursday. Okay. Yeah. That is a week from today because today is Thursday. So it's this coming Thursday, not today. That would put it on the 30th to be exact. 1:30 and 5:30 will be the times. We do have a limit on attendees for clients, but if you're a non-client and want to learn more about how we do this, what all this means, yeah, call us.
All right. 504-832-9200 is the office number for Gregory. 504-832-9200. The Wednesday Q&A went up yesterday. If you're on the newsletter, the email newsletter list, you already got that sent to you. If you go to GregoryRicks.com and you look under the news blog tab, you'll see it's a top story right now. And the question that Gregory was addressing is, how can I perform better than the average investor? And the first thing you'll notice when we do this segment is we spell out what the average investor does. And it's not that hard to beat the average investor. They don't do all the stories that you hear from your brother-in-law at Thanksgiving or with that coworker you have that tells you about all the winning investments he has. Conveniently leaves out all the stocks he dropped that lost the money. No, performing better than the average investor. It's not that long of a segment either. So go check it out, GregoryRicks.com. It's under the news blog tab. And it's also sitting on our YouTube channel for Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. All that out the way. Another thing I had about something you're going to talk about at the pop-up events. You said the upgraded GPS portal. Explain the original GPS portal, the current or the former GPS portal.
Well, what that does is give you access to account information, the areas that you're working with us on the other side of the portal also gives you access to whatever you want to build. If you have other accounts, banking, credit card, whatever you're wanting to see. So you could see this and keep up to date what's going on, even if it's other investment accounts, those can be attached. And it gives you performance information, insights, and has a digital vault. We're basically upgrading. You're having those things and more metrics. Your overall plan you can see in there. And we're really excited about all the tools. And that's what we're going to talk at the event about next week also. And it's just good that we can give you more information and we've got more capacity there. And it's just going to be different things that you can look at regarding your accounts and planning. We're really excited.
And this feels like stuff that we should have been doing about a year ago, but all the events got shut down little over a year ago. It feels so good to get back to actually doing these public events.
Yeah, I agree. I like doing these events. I don't necessarily know that this information would have been available there, but we'd been doing events to talk about something else. We're always brewing up some ideas and some strategies and about how to move forward. And I like getting in front of some people and sharing ideas, just like we do here on the radio. But that's kind of, we are, and you know, you hear me talk on the radio conceptually, all that. And these are concepts we give to clients and all the time, and much more than probably what you hear on the show. But we do a pretty good bit of stuff for them as well that's very unique. And it's important that they're taken care of because that's what they're there for. Hey, yeah, they're raising taxes. How about go to gregoryricks.com/strategies if you are looking some ways, idea to create efficiency. And I'll give you another. If you're not at your old job anymore, could be because you're retired or out of work, or you've got a new, better job, but that money's still at the old job. Five things to do with your old 401k. Guess where to go? You're right. GregoryRicks.com/401k and get some ideas there. Don't let that money sit over there collecting dust or not being watched out for. There's some things you can do with that to perhaps increase probability of growth. If it was my money, I wouldn't leave it at the old job. No, not at all. Hey, but you know, you hear me talk about this time to time. You can't even begin to plan for retirement without this number. One of the hardest truths of retirement planning is that you're never going to get it right. You know, it is kind of a moving target. I was having a discussion with a family a while back, and one of the questions came up was the beneficiary designations based on the value of the assets. And their concerns were not wanting somebody to get shorted and the impact of distributions on that. And it seemed like going over and over again on it. And I said, you're not going to figure this out today in a way that you never have to revisit this discussion again. And I said, we can make adjustments anytime regarding the bennies or the percentage they're getting or how it's split. And I just simply asked this question. A decade ago, how much did you have in assets? I asked. I said, it's okay. You don't have to answer, but it's a good bit less than you have today, right? Yeah, I said, the probability is you're going to have more in the future as well than what you have now. So trying to get that right, it's not that something's wrong. It's just this is something that's moving. And it's not just, you know, if you're kind of good with a percentage overall, but there were some complications there that you couldn't just, well, give all five of the kids 20% each. It wasn't that way, but it was, you know, wanting to create fairness on something that values are going to move. So that's like, as I mentioned, that, you know, this is kind of a tough thing to get right. And what we hope to get right is to never run out of money. So just like today's retirees could never have foreseen the pandemic and the recession, the Great Recession, and the thing is, problems are coming in the future. We just don't know what they are. And I'll tell you one of them, we kind of know, and it's kind of targeted for 2023. It's called rising interest rates. The Fed's going to raise the rates. That's coming at some point, and the markets aren't going to like it. But one of the keys to successful retirement planning is not to get things exactly right, but get close as you can based on some educated guesswork and err on the side of estimating too high rather than too low. I see on the future, I'd rather estimate lower returns. Oh, well, the market the past decades averaged, yeah, I just put out a number and this isn't accurate, but say, oh, it's averaged 10%. So you can kind of count on that going forward. That you never should use that. I think, you know, what's a reasonable expectation on returns? I think it's a range of 3 to 6%, depending on portfolio mix, actually. And I think, well, what if I mostly grow stocks? That's okay. Then I think you're better off projecting around 6, even though market historicals are more, you know, the market has down years. And when you're looking at actual, because the market is, you know, think about it, the returns are not always up. But if you're going an average and say, well, I'm going to put my calculator, I'm going to expect a 9% return. Well, you're calculating in a 9% gain every year. And the market doesn't work that way. It has down years and up years. So when you're considering that average with the up and down, you're really getting somewhere about 6% is the correct number to kind of be expecting on an upside. So in order to estimate how long your retirement will last and how many years of living expenses you'll have to cover, you need to, the thing you need to know is, when do you plan to retire? And that brings us to, how long do you expect to live? And you can choose any retirement date you'd like to start with. So that's the first. When are you retiring? So what age are you going to become that year? You see what I said there? What age are you going to become that year? Because your birthday may not be there yet, but it's important to make judgments in retirement by the year, the age you're going to be in that retirement year. But after you crunch some numbers, you realize the plan isn't feasible. You may have to push back retirement so that you have more to save. As far as life expectancy, you know, you really don't know that number. And it's something I talk about more now, because that is something we're trying to estimate. What is life expectancy? In most cases, I'm factoring in a longer time. You can use your family history. You can use your own lifestyle as a starting point. You could also try a life expectancy calculator like the one from Social Security or the IRS, and it doesn't hurt to add a little cushion to your estimate, especially if you're a healthy person and assume you're going to live in to your 90s at least. It may not happen, but I'd rather have extra money and pass it along and leave behind. I know some of you like, you know, I don't want to leave any behind. Well, it's going to be hard to get to zero at the right time. So you need to count on, you're going to leave some money behind, because the bigger problem is if you get that wrong and you've run out. So you'll leave some money to your heirs, and I'd rather do that than outlive my own estimate. So once you have these two pieces of information, calculating retirement length is as simple as subtracting your chosen age. So if you're retiring at 60 and you think you're going to live tonight, well, that's 30 years you need to be funded. So you got to factor in inflation, returns, and how's that going to look from distributions. And I'm going to tell you, you probably should inflate it some, give yourself some raises on distributions, and you don't need to treat the income as, well, I want to be close to zero. I maybe want to have a year's income left at age 90. Here's the thing. I think you need to plan it so you're leaving, and I would define it this way, a few $100,000 extra on the back end. Why? And some of you probably drove off the road. I don't even have that much now. Well, relate it to your situation, but you need cushion on the back end. Why? You want to go out in the lifestyle that you're accustomed to. You're probably going to need some help. Medical costs are going to probably be more, and there's things you're going to need, so make sure you have money for that. As a couple and you're second to die, you need some left, but there's probably going to cost you some on taking care of that spouse that goes before you as well. So that's something to factor in. So I just don't know how you get to zero. Those that get to zero, meaning they died broke, yeah, they had a problem because they ran out of money early. Don't let that happen to you.
All right, if you have a financial situation looking for the services of a financial advisory firm, start your search with Gregory Ricks and Associates. You just heard the guy across the table from me here. Check him out at his day job, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Rickson Associates, WJ Blanchard Law LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Rickson Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Rickson Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Rickson.